Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala, which is the summary study of Srimad Bhagavatam, or the introduction to establish the platform by which the book will expand. So the platform, the basis of the whole book is Srimad Bhagavatam. So before starting his analysis of Srimad Bhagavatam according to the three categories of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, he's establishing the Bhagavatam. First he said it's the evidence, and then the second ray, what was the second ray? First one was Praman, then it was evidence, and then it was the advent. So the Vedic Praman and all the Vedas of Bhagavatam, that is the supreme Praman or evidence or proof for God. So all right, someone says, okay, the Bhagavatam is the proof for God, but how did the Bhagavatam come about? What is the advent or the birth of the Bhagavatam? So then he told that. So then in this chapter, he describes the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Basically, I wrote a summary for the chapter. The third ray or third chapter of Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala describes the identity of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then it provides a summary of the Bhagavatam's contents by citing 40 verses from the 12th canto. 12th canto, chapter 12, verse 6 through 45, which gives a whole outline or description of all the conversations and subject matters discussed in the Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam relates the conversations of many elevated, enlightened spiritual personalities, such as Narada Muni and Lord Brahma, Vidura and Uddhava, Kapila and Devahuti, Narada and King Prachina Barishat, plus the narrations of Nabi, Rishabhadev, and Bharat Maharaj, and we'll see some of the other subjects. Citing the 12th canto, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the many benefits derived by hearing and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And the third ray concludes with pranam prayer to Shukadeva Goswami from the 12th canto, chapter 12, verse 69. And I believe it's spoken by Sutta Goswami. But I don't have any other books here to do research, so I can't. But it's from 12:12:69, the glorification of Shukadeva Goswami. So he begins this third ray, called the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, by explaining the identity of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the third verse. The first three rays, the introductory verse, the first verse of the first, this is kind of like Prabhupada's classes in 1966. If you've ever heard any Prabhupada's preaching a Bhagavad Gita or Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he was giving every evening or morning there, in 267 2nd Avenue in 1966, it was a storefront. It was on the main street. 2nd Avenue, there's 7 avenues this way and 100 streets and 7 avenues, and New York's like this. So it's a very big main street. And all the time you hear trucks going by, beep, 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 and probably say, so, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. It's like unbelievable that somehow Prabhupada was tolerating all that. And he just kept speaking the message, and everybody just kept listening, and they got the message. So the first ray, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he cites the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Janmadyasya Yataha, and then the commentary that was revealed to him by Sri Damodara Goswami. Then the second ray, he cites the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Prochitakaitavracha Paramal Nirmatsaran Satam. Now in the third verse, the third ray, he opens the third ray with the third verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is identifying the Bhagavatam itself. First, the first verse explains, first verse, first chapter, Janmadyasya Yataha, Param Satyam Chadimahi. This verse indicates that the Srimad Bhagavatam, firstly, it's a summary and comment on the Vedanta Sutra, because that's the first sutra of Vedanta. Vedanta Sutra, which is called Brahma Sutra, starts off with this phrase, Janmadyasya Yataha. What is the source? Janma Yasya. What is the source of everything? The source of everything is the Absolute Truth, or God. And so taking that verse, then he opens the Bhagavatam with that verse, which indicates that the whole Bhagavatam is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, because that's one of the Vedanta Sutras. And then he ends the verse by saying, Param Satyam Cha Dhimahi. So this verb, Dhimahi, is one of the verbs used in Gayatri. And Dhimahi is Dhimahi, Vidmahe, Dhimahi, and Prachodayat are the three verbs which are used in Gayatri mantras. Wherever you have a proper Gayatri mantra, then you have to have these three verbs, Vidmahe, Dhimahi, and Prachodayat. So there's Radha Gayatri, there's Kam Gayatri, there's Gopal Gayatri, there's so many different Gayatris, Guru Gayatri, Gaur Gayatri, Durga Gayatri, Brahma Gayatri, Ambur Bhuvaswa. So now this third verse, this third ray, he opens it with the third verse, which is actually describing what is this Srimad Bhagavatam? What's the speciality of the Srimad Bhagavatam? So it's, the verse goes, sounds like this. Nigama kapatur galitam phalam shuka mukad amrita dravasam yutam pibeta bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. All the Vedas, all the different Vedas, Rig, Sama, Atharva, Yajur, all the, those are the Shrutis and the Smritis, all the Vedas and Vedic literatures are just like a desire tree. Kalpataru, you've heard this term, Kalpataru. Taru means tree and Kalpa means desire or dream. Kalpana. Kalpana means dream. So all the Vedas are like a desire tree. Desire tree means you go to the tree. Such trees exist in the Vaikuntha realm. You go to the tree and you say, oh tree, I want some Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Then the tree says, what would you like? I say, well, my order is some sweet dal and some khichdi and some mustard sabji and laga laga sabji and chutney. This would be nice. Okay, when do you want? Now. Then you get. It's called desire tree. Right, desire tree. So this is a very good thing. And people, men think that when they get married, their wife will be a desire tree. But they find out that I thought my wife would be a desire tree, but actually she's like cactus. Or if she's really nice, she's like a thorn tree. A very elaborate babul tree. Babul. Babul has nice thorns like that. Very. So then the dream gets shattered and you wake up and get down to the real business of birth and death and go on like this. So this verse is saying that all the Vedas and Vedic literature are like a desire tree. The Brahma Sutras, which means Vedanta Sutras, are the flowers of the tree. So you have this tree, all the Vedas, Shrutis, Smritis, Puranas, Brahmanas, Itihasas, Agamas, and so many different branches. The tree is there, and all these branches and all these trees together, all these branches in this trunk, they make the Vedas, the Shrutis, the Smritis, the corollary literatures, Mahabharata, Ramayana, they're all sub-branches. Now, the real, a tree, ultimately a tree will produce flowers. And then those flowers will turn to fruits. So it's saying here, Vyasadeva is saying that the entire tree of Vedic knowledge, the fruits on that tree, what are the flowers of that tree? Vedanta Sutra. Another synonym for Vedanta Sutra is Brahma Sutra. So now that, though, so we have the tree and we have the flowers. Now where does the Srimad Bhagavatam fit in? The Srimad Bhagavatam is the phalam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the fruit of that tree of Vedic knowledge. So that's the final product of a tree, is the flowers and the fruits, if it's a fruit-bearing tree. Some trees only bear flowers, and they go from flowers and they produce nuts. Some just have flowers and they fall off. And some trees have flowers and they produce fruits. A mango tree produces fruits. An almond tree produces almonds. And a jaba tree produces red jaba flowers. And that's it. And that's enough. As Radharani picks those red jaba flowers and offers them to Suryadev. There's no nuts and there's no fruit there. Just the flowers. So this tree of Vedic knowledge not only has flowers in the form of the Vedanta Sutra, but it has very nice fruits called Srimad Bhagavatam. when this fruit of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when this fruit, Srimad Bhagavatam, ripened in the spiritual world, the bird Shukadev, which means the parrot, brought it to this world. Therefore, this fruit is more nectarian because it has been touched by the mouth of Sri Shuka. So the Sri Shuka, sometimes it says in the Bhagavatam, Sri Shuka Uvacha, or Sriyat Shuka Uvacha. When it says Sri Shuka Uvacha, or it says Sriyat Shuka Uvacha, in Brahmavivart Puran, it explains it, and the Acharyas give commentary, that this Sri refers to Srimati Radharani. Sri Shuka means the Shuka belonging to Sri, or Shriya. Shriya Shukuvacha means the Shuka, which means Tota, which means parrot, belonging to Srimati Radharani, Sri Radhe, Jai Sri. So this is quite the point, that this is why this Bhagavatam is so tasty. So it says, the Sanskrit says, Shuka Mukad Amrita Drava Samyutam. Amrita. Amrita Drava Samyutam. Shuka Mukad. From the mouth of Shuka. Shuka touched this fruit. This parrot, he pecked on this fruit. He heard this. He heard these flower-like instructions from his father, Vedavyas. I mean, this fruit he heard from his father. And then he spoke it when it came out of his mouth and touched his mouth, just like when the fruit touches the mouth of the parrot, then the fruit becomes sweeter. So when the Bhagavatam came out, Shuka Mukad Amritam, Drava Samyutam, it became so much nectarian, so sweet and so special. That's what's being said here. The pastimes of Krishna are the rasa of this fruit of Bhagavatam. So, you know, if you have a mango, which is the fruit of the mango tree, inside is mango pulp. And if you squeeze it, what do you get?
Juice.
Mango juice. So that is the juice of the fruit. So what is the juice of the Bhagavatam fruit? Which I just read. The pastimes of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna are the rasa of this fruit of Bhagavatam. So Krishna Lila is Ras Lila. It's full of ras. O exalted devotees, please drink this ras repeatedly until the end of your life. If you are fond of drinking this nectar, you will never become satiated. What does satiated mean?
Full.
Over
saturated.
Saturated. You can't take any more. No, you can always take more and more. Then you will give up all types of sadhana and simply relish this nectar. By practicing sadhana, one achieves bhav. By mixing certain ingredients with your individual sthayi bhav, you can taste or attain ras, bhakti ras. The pastimes of Krishna are full of ras. Just to enter into them while situated in vibhav. Vibhav means this alamban and udipan. Alamban is prem ashray, which means the devotee, and prem vishay, which means Krishna. That's alamban vibhav. And udipan vibhav means the stimulants, the excitants for that. And this is all part of the staiva, love. So this verse, 1.1.3, describes the unique identity of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's a couple more verses that describe the identity and glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the whole idea of this gradual presentation is to increase the reader's faith. Adoshadatata sarasanga bhajana kriya nartha nirviti tato nishtya. Nishta. To increase the devotee's faith, or the reader of this book's faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if you don't have faith in the Bhagavatam, then you won't believe in the conclusions of the Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavat Siddhanta, or the Bhagavat Tattva. The truth of the Bhagavatam, it will not be accepted by you, because you don't have faith. Oh, this is fantastic, I can't believe it. That the moon, the sun planet is further than the moon. Or no, the moon planet is further than the sun, or whatever. All these different astrological calculations in fifth canto, which seem rather astounding and incomprehensible to the modern scientific mind, which is only functioning in three-dimensional reality, length, width, and depth. But the Bhagavatam is functioning ultimately on the fifth dimension, What is the fifth dimension? Panchama Purusharta. Panchama Purusharta means the fifth dimension is prema. What is the fourth dimension?
Consciousness.
So length, width, depth, consciousness, and prema, prema ras. So if you only come to the fourth level, fourth dimension, then that's consciousness. And consciousness can take you to Brahman, if you only settle at consciousness. But when you realize the personality behind consciousness, or the consciousness is actually personal, then you come to the fifth level, which Lord Chaitanya called Panchama Purusharta. Pancham, panch means five. Panchama Purusharta. Artha means the valuable attainment, the aim and objective, the goal, the purpose, the culmination, the conclusion. It's called art, that which is valuable. So that which is valuable is love. Love gives the greatest value to life. Love is the most worthy attainment, and love is the very sustenance of the Atma, Atma Prem. So Prem, Krishna Prem, is the fifth dimension. So Bhagavatam ultimately brings us to the fifth dimension, because it brings us to the Vrajabhav, Vraja Prem. So now this two other verses, so this whole first three chapters are building up our strong foundation. Well, the Vedas are the source of knowledge about God, not my own speculation, not my own imagination. I can't realize on my own. I depend on higher authority, higher knowledge, and that knowledge should be a purusheya, transcendental and infallible, achuta gyan, a prakriti gyan, transcendental knowledge. And then it should... Okay, you're telling me the Bhagavatam is the essence. Well, how did the Bhagavatam come about? Well, it was spoken to Lord Krishna, beginning of creation, spoke it to the first living entity, Brahma. He spoke Chatushloki, the four verses of the Bhagavatam. Then Brahma spoke that to Narada, then Narada spoke it to Vyasa, and Vyasa expanded it. And so that whole history is there in secondary. Well, all right, that's how it came about. Well, what's so special? Okay, the Bhagavatam has this knowledge, and it's just a history of Bhagavatam, and it happened like this. But is it that special? Is it really special? Oh, yeah, it's really special. So in the third ray is telling us how special it is. That of all the Vedas, the very flowers of the Vedas, which is a big thing, the flower of the tree is a big thing. The Vedanta Sutra is a flower. Well, it's very special. That means Vedanta Sutra is amazing. Shankaracharya wrote a commentary on it. And Ramanujacharya wrote a commentary on it. Sri Bhashya and Sharirakya Bhashya. And Baladeva Dibhushan wrote a commentary on it. Govinda Bhashya. So it's very much powerful and very complete, but also very esoteric and difficult to perceive and understand, especially nowadays in Kali Yuga. So then that very esoteric and incomprehensible Vedanta Sutra was made available in story form. It was opened up. There's only a few hundred verses of Vedanta Sutra. It was opened up into stories. And the stories are the Srimad Bhagavatam. Puran means stories, historical anecdotes. And in the case of Krishna, it's Leela. So in these stories, we get to understand what is the Vedanta Sutra and the ultimate conclusion. So now these verses are describing more of that wonderful exalted identity. These are some of the wonderful verses of Bhagavatam. Of course, there's a whole chapter of Padma Puran, which is called Bhagavat Mahatmyam, which is, Mahatmyam means glories. The glories or the greatness. The greatness or the glories of Bhagavatam is told in Bhagavat Mahatmyam. That's in Padma Puran. Also Skanda Puran has a chapter. There's Mathura Mahatmyam, describing the glories of Mathura. And then there's, in Skanda Puran, there's the Purushottam Mahatmyam, describes the glories of Purushottam Dham. We were reading all that last year. I gave very extensive classes about Puri Dham last year. Those are on the tape. There's a whole CD of that. So then, the Bhagavatam itself, the Bhagavat Puran itself, in the 12th canto, at the very end of it, it also has a Bhagavat Mahatmyam, has a chapter glorifying the Bhagavatam. So it's a Bhagavatam glorifying the Bhagavatam. So someone might say, well, that's easy. You're just telling your own glories. No, I'm so glorious and this and that. Okay, well, that's what you say. But what do other people say? Other people say you're... So the people may criticize, but nevertheless, the Bhagavatam is glorifying itself. So you can accept it and have faith in this and believe it, or you can Haribo. So this is from the 12th canto. It's chapter 13, but I'm not sure which verse because it's not mentioned here. It's a very wonderful verse. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam Gyanam Param Giyate Tatra Gyana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkaram Yam Avishkritam Tachtrinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro Bhaktyami Muchyen Naraha. Says it's Amala Puranam, it's Vaishnav Priyam, it's Amala Gyanam. It's very nice. The author explains to the general readers, this Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Puran, is spotless. It's an Amalam Puranam. Others, 18 Purans, 6 Purans in Sattvagun, 6 Purans in Rajagun, and 6 in Tamagun. And Bhagavat Puran is one of the Sattvic Purans, like Vishnu Puran and Padma Puran, and can't remember the other one, but there's 6 of them. But they're not spotless. There are some spots there. There's some defect there. It's called kalanka. Kalanka means spots. Because they're spotted with or tinged with, tainted with karmakanda. Padma Purana has so many chapters of how to do prayaschitta and how to counter. You do this sin and do this thing and do this thing and do that sin. It's called prayaschitta, karmakanda. But in Bhagavatam you don't find anything like this. You commit abortion, then do this bratta, if you do this, that, all these things. Because this is, as it says in the beginning, it says Paramahamsam. So this book is for the Paramahamsas, those that want the essence. What is a Paramahamsa? Paramahamsa means a transcendental swan, a swan-like person who's seeking for the higher thing in life. So the Hamsa, the swan, has a speciality, which I've even seen it. I actually saw it with my own eyes, because I read this and I couldn't believe it. But I heard this before when I joined ISKCON, read Prabhupada's books, that the swan has this special ability. And that was in 74, 5, then maybe 1980, I went to Miami Temple. And the Miami Temple was in, they had a quite large property at that time. They had a big lake there. In that lake they had black swans, which is quite interesting. It's called Kala Swan. Black swan, totally black. And they also had the traditional white swans, you know, with the long neck, you know. Right, going around. And the speciality of a swan is that if you throw some milk, there's a mixture of milk and water, he can take out the milk and leave the water. So I got some maha milk one day, because I'm a scientist type. So I went to this lake and there were some swans. I had some bread, I called them over, then I fed them some bread, then I poured the milk right in front of them. So then the milk mixed in, was dispersing in the water of the lake. And the swan was picking up like this, you know, scooping it like a spoon. His beak was like a spoon. And he's getting the mixture of milk and water. Then he's going, it's something like moving his tongue and blowing air or something. I don't know what he's doing. Like this. And this water was dripping out the side of his beak. The water was dripping out and the milk was going down. Yeah. So they say that, they say, and it's actually a fact, it's not an allegory, it's actually, it's literal, it's true, that a swan has the ability to separate milk from water. So that's why they say the Paramahamsas, the advanced and pure devotees, they're able to, they're, it's called Saragrahi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it Saragrahi. They're able to extract the sar means essence. They're able to extract the essence from everything. Just like a swan extracts the essence of milk from the water, leaves the there's a vast lake full of water, billions and billions of liters of water, and there's only 1 liter of milk. So he's able to leave all the billions of liters of water and just take the milk. So the Paramahamsa, he leaves all the billions and billions of varieties of maya and distractions and extractions and all these things, and he just takes the essence. And the essence of life is consciousness. And the essence of consciousness is Krishna consciousness. And the perfection of Krishna consciousness is Prem, the Prem Seva Radha Govinda. So the Paramahamsas, they find this essence in the world. They don't care for anything else. So the Bhagavatam, it says in the beginning, is meant for those Paramahamsas, those personalities, men, ladies or gents, that are interested in the essence of existence. There's so much vast water. It said this. It's called Bhavasagar. Bhavasagar. So we have the Sagar, or Sindhu. Bhavasagar. Bhava What was that song? Vajahure mana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanara Vindure. So this is Bhava Sagar. Bhava Sagar means the ocean of material existence. It's a vast ocean. And everyone's swimming in it and trying to get fish out of it and get whales and snails and gems and jewels and so many things from the ocean. But the Paramahamsa, he goes there and says, where's the essence? Where's the essence? And there's a vast ocean. He just takes out, a few drops of milk. Fine. He finds Krishna. Then he says, this is all I need. I reject the rest of this ocean. And he leaves this world. That's the Paramahamsa. So this Bhagavatam is for them because it is Amalam Puranam. There is no Karma Kanda here, no Jnana Kanda, no Devata Upasanam. There's no rules or regulations how to worship devas and how to petition devas, petition them and attain their favor. But other Puranas are full of these things. So therefore it's called Amalam Puranam. Amalam Puranam. Spotless, pure. And it's very dear. This Bhagavatam is very dear to the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam Priyam. The most sanctified knowledge meant for swan-like Vaishnavas is described. Yasmin paramahamsyam ekam amalam gyanam param giyate. So paramahamsyam ekam amalam gyanam. There's only one type of knowledge here, and it's amala gyanam. It's pure knowledge. Sanctified pure knowledge meant for swan-like Vaishnavas is described here. Detachment, gyan viraga, tatra gyana viraga bhakti sahitam. This is sahitam means saha, means with. This Bhagavatam gives knowledge, detachment, and devotion. Detachment along with transcendental knowledge and devotion is revealed by this literature. By reading, hearing, and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, one attains devotional service to the Lord. Touch Chinvan Supatan. So Chinvan means to hear. Supatan, pat. Pat means the Bhagavat pat, means this Bhagavatam. This wonderful Bhagavatam. Chinvan Supatan. By hearing, reading, and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, one attains devotional service to the Lord. And by devotional service to the Lord, the conditioned state of living entities is destroyed. It says, Vicharan, Vichar. Vicharana Puro Bhaktya, Vimuchyan Naraha. The Naraha, the living entities, the human beings, they become Vimuchyan. Vimuchyan means Vishesh Mukti. They become completely and especially liberated. Because if you could just say, this Vedavyas could say in this verse in 12th canto, he could just say pro bhaktya muchyan or mukti naraha, that living entities by chinvan supatan vicharan, this very wonderful and glorious pat, Bhagavat pat. This chinvan means to hear, shravan, chinvan, it's a Sanskrit word, chinvan supatan. And then it says vicharana, that they hear chinvan, but then they consider. Hearing is not enough. We have a phrase, in one ear, out the other ear. That means no vichar. In one ear, out the other ear. And it doesn't stay here, and it doesn't stay near. In one ear, out the other ear. It doesn't stay here, and it doesn't stay near. And it doesn't become dear. Because for that, we fear. Because if we hear the instruction of Bhagavatam, and then vicharana, it says, touch chinvan, supatan, vicharana. Vicharana means consideration, to consider it, to mull over it, to contemplate it. Yes, this is very profound and deep message is being given here. I have to consider this. Yes, I have to die to live. I have to die to live. If I want to live this in this Krishna conscious type of life, then my old life has to die. This consideration, this conclusion I've attained by thorough contemplation of the teachings of Bhagavatam, Bhagavat philosophy, Bhagavat tattva. So if one does that consideration, then what will happen if he considers it? Then he follows. So he chinvan, supatan, vicharana. He hears, then he accepts, then he hears, then he thinks about and contemplates, then he accepts, then he acts. Thinking, feeling, willing. Feeling means acceptance. And then willing means action, icha. So now he's acting. And then if he acts very perfectly and attains perfection in the Bhagavad Siddhanta, then what does he attain? Pro-bhaktya. Pro-bhaktya. He gets pro-bhaktya. He gets the topmost devotion, transcendental devotion. And then it could just say mukti naraha, that the living entity gets the topmost devotion, which brings him to mukti. Siloki Mukti, Surupi Mukti, Shashti Mukti, Samipya Mukti. These four kinds of mukti, they're Vaikuntha liberation. They only take you to Vaikuntha. But it doesn't say mukti, it says Vimuchyen. Vimuchyen. Vi means, Vishesh. Vi means Vishesh. Vishesh means special. Vishesh, same as Hindi, right? Vishesh. Means something special. Something extra. So what's Vishesh Mukti? Special kind of mukti. What is that mukti? This Paro Bhakti, it gives Braj Bhakti. The Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't, any other Puran or other Vedic literature, if you perfect the path of bhakti delineated there, you'll go to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha Mukti. That's mukti. It's not Vimukti. But this is Vimuchyan, a very special type of mukti one attains by studying and following the teachings of Bhagavatam. That is mukti to Brajagokul. You transcend, you go beyond all the Vaikuntha planets, and you go beyond Vishnudham, you go beyond Haridham, you go beyond Ayodhyadham, you go beyond Dwarka, Mathura, and you go to Brajadham, to Radhakund, Govardhan, Nandagam, Barsana. This is where you go. So this is a speciality of Bhagavatam. So this verse is showing how glorious and how special this Bhagavatam is. Vimuchyen Naraha. Naraha means living entities. Narahari, half man, half lion. So now another very wonderful verse, which is that we included in the Bhagavat Stuti, in the front of Sartadarshini, this verse we included. Actually, this one also. But this verse, another verse from the 12th canto, chapter 13, which is called Bhagavat Mahatmyam. Sarva Vedanta Saram Yad Brahmatmai Kaiva Lakshanam Vastvad Vitiyam Tanishtam Kaivalyeka Prayojanam. This is 12:13:12. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literature. Sarva Vedanta Saramhi. It's the essence of the Vedanta. Anyone who has found full satisfaction in the nectarine mellows of this book does not hanker for anything else. So it says, Brahmat Aikatava Lakshanam Vastu Advitiyam Tannishtam. So this, the substance of this book is transcendental. And you'll become nishta. You'll become so fixed in this Bhagavatam, you become one with the teachings. Then you'll realize that this is nothing more you want than this. So now, as I mentioned, the summary that we compiled here, the Bhagavad Gita Thakur is citing verses, this verse from the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. This is 12th canto, chapter 12, verses 6 through 45. Which is 40, I suppose this is 40 verses. 40 verses from the 12th canto of Bhagavatam describe the actual contents of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I mentioned that there are different conversations between great sages and also mother and sons. Kapila was the son of Devahuti. He was the incarnation of the Lord. Then the Bhagavatam describes different subject matters like the rebirth of Daksha, the progeny of Daksha's daughters, the birth and death of the sons of Diti, narration of Hiranyakashipu, characteristics of Prahlad, and description of different Manus, liberation of Gajendra, different incarnations of the Lord. It talks about different Dasavatars, Vamana incarnation, Bali and Vamana Dev, and then Nisringa Dev and Hayagriva and Kurma, the story of Kurma, then Varaha. There's some chapters about Varaha, second canto, third canto. And the birth of Ikshvaku. Then there's a story about the kings, Nriga, King Nriga, and the sage Sobhari Rishi, and Lord Ramachandra, and Parasaram, Yayati, Shantanu, and Bhishma, glorification of the Yadu dynasty. Then finally, Krishna's Leela. The innumerable activities of Krishna are described. And then later, it describes the destruction of Krishna's own dynasty. Then a conversation between Lord Vasudeva and Uddhava. Then Lord's disappearance, called Moshala Leela. Then the symptoms of Kali Yuga are described. Have you ever read that? Symptoms of Kali Yuga in 12th canto? It's really good. Really good.
12th canto?
Yeah. And division of the Vedas and narration of the sage Markandeya Rishi. So that covers quite several pages of the third ray, all about the contents. And this is about the benefits, these last few verses about the benefits of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it appears that we can finish this within our allotted time. So every day we can do one ray. That's nice. So this is also a very famous verse about the benefit. We can say, because it comes at the end of the end of the Bhagavatam, this is chapter, canto 12, chapter 12, verse 52. The concluding verses of any chapter of Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavatam itself, they often end with a Sanskrit shloka or many shlokas, which are called the phal shruti, the fruit of hearing. Shruti means hearing and phal means fruit. If you hear this chapter, what will you get? What will I get by studying this Bhagavatam? What will I get by studying this Bhagavatam? Well, you will get bhakti, devotion for Krishna. So this is told here in this nice verse. Tadvagvisargo janataga samplavho yasmin pratishlokam abandavat yapi namanyanantasya yasho nikanit yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. Saintly persons always hear and sing Krishna's unlimited glories, which destroy the sinful reactions of the human being, even though they are not properly composed or put in order. So this is the it's a glorification about hearing and singing Krishna's glories, that our sins can be destroyed just by hearing about Krishna's yasho, ananta yasho, the unlimited fame, yasho. Yashamati Nandana Brajavaranagara Gokula Ranjanakan. The unlimited fame of Yashodanandan. Just hearing about his pastimes destroys one's sins, one becomes pure. Shinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sarava. This is what saintly persons always engage in, Gayanti, singing. Shinvanti and Gayanti, hearing and singing. And Grinanti, Grinanti means they cut the knot. They put an end to the knot of material life in this way. This is text 55 of chapter 12. Avismriti Krishna Padara Vindayo Shinotya Badrani Chashamtanoti Satvasya Shuddhim Paramatma Bhaktim Gyanam Chavigyana Viraga Yuktam. Constant remembrance of Krishna by hearing and remembering the teachings and leelas of the Srimad Bhagavatam destroys all one's sinful reactions, awards auspiciousness, purifies one's existence, awards devotional service to the Supreme Lord, and imparts spiritual knowledge and detachment. So that's quite a lot of good things. Destroys sinful reactions, awards auspiciousness. Shinoti. Shinoti says Krishna Padaravindiyo. Avismriti Krishna Padaravindiyo. By hearing the Bhagavatam, then, and remembering the teachings, one becomes attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. And when one's attached to the lotus feet of Krishna by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then his shinoti, his sinful reactions, are destroyed. Abhadrani, all the inauspicious things are removed, which means it gives auspiciousness. Sham Tanoti, it purifies one's existence. Satvasya Shudim, it awards devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Paramatma Bhaktim, imparts spiritual knowledge and detachment. Jnana Vijnana Viraga Yuktam. So that's a good deal. And then this is Canto 12, Chapter 12, Verse 59. Yeah, so some might say, oh, I'm very busy, you don't know how busy I am, I have this big factory, and I have to beat up all these guys and make them work because they're lazy, and I don't pay them anything, so they're even lazier. And then I have to wrestle all these ladies in the sari shop, and wrestle all these retailers, and get them to take all these useless saris. And then I have to sell all these rotten textiles, and then bogus insurance policies. And, you know, sell hope against hope, and Yes, he wants you to buy a life insurance policy so you, when you die, your wife can enjoy. It's not life insurance, it's wife insurance.
It ensures
that your wife will have a good time when you're dead. So it's called wife insurance. Yes, I would like to sell you wife insurance policy. What? Wife insurance. Yes, this will guarantee, look, we guarantee and ensure when you're dead, your wife will have a hell of a good time. And she won't have to keep two cell phones anymore. Now her whole life she had two cell phones, one for you, one for her boyfriend. Once you're dead, she throws out your cell phone, and then she keeps the one for her boyfriend. So she'll save money when you're dead also. Wife insurance. So you're selling this wife insurance. So you say, I don't have time. I don't have time. I'm very busy with my Maya. I don't have time to read the Bhagavatam. So then now listen to this. Ya etat shravayan nityam yamashanam ananyadi shlokam ekam tat ardham va param padardham eva va sharavan yo nishunayat punat yatmanam eva saha. 12th canto, chapter 12, verse 59. Vyasamuni is saying, okay, you're so busy. But he's saying, anyone who faithfully hears or induces others to hear one shloka. Oh, you're too busy for one shloka of Bhagavatam every day? Okay, can you give me half a shloka? Half a shloka. Or how about, if you can't have half a shloka, how about a phrase or even one word? For some time or even a moment without deviation, purifies his body, mind, and soul. So if you hear one word or one line, this is pad. Pad means, this is ardhapad. Pad means four lines or two lines or one line or one word of Bhagavatam. It purifies your existence. Then this is 12.12.65. Viprodit yapnuyat pragyam rajanyo dhari mekalam vaishyo nidhi patitvam cha shudra shudyeta patakat. If a brahmana studies the Srimad Bhagavatam, he will attain spiritual knowledge. A kshatriya will studies Bhagavatam will attain a kingdom equal to the entire earth with all its oceans. If a vaishya studies the Bhagavatam, he will attain huge qualities of money, wealth. So Vyasadeva knows how to catch everybody. He knows the proper bait for everybody. Now shudras. And the shudras will be purified of their sinful reactions. Right. And give up their Johnny Walker. And their Benson and Hedges and English Oval cigarettes. And start walking the path of Dharma. So the final verse of this chapter, the third ray, which is the introduction to this book basically, is a glorification of the speaker to Shukadeva Goswami. This is from 12.12, I think it's verse 69. Was not mentioned. So sukha nibrita chetas tad vyudastanya bhavo apyajita ruchira lila krishta saras tadiyam vyatanuta kripaya yas tattva deepam puranam tamakila vrijinam agnam vyasasunam natosmi. I offer my respect, this is Sutta Goswami speaking. I offer my respectful obeisances to Vyasadeva's son, who destroys all one's sinful reactions, who gave up all other mentality and became absorbed in self-satisfaction, who became attracted to Krishna's wonderful pastimes and immersively preached this brilliantly or brightly shining lamp of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is Shukadeva Goswami ki jai. Shri Vyasa Muni ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakura ki jai. Shri Bhagavat Archamarichimala ki jai. So by the Lord's grace, and we hope we can continue speaking the fourth ray, which begins with our actual study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with Sambandha Gyan, and this goes on for about 10 chapters or 10 rays. And this is describing tomorrow's fourth ray is the science of the Lord's characteristics, which is in Sanskrit called Bhagavat Tattva, the truth of Bhagavan. So we'll hear that tomorrow. Any questions or comments? Yeah, the Bhagavatam is also on the higher planets. Prabhupada said, in this planet, we have 12 cantos in the Bhagavatam.
Yes, ma'am.
But in the higher planets, they have hundreds of cantos. So you better stay here and finish the Bhagavatam. If you go to the higher planets, you'll never finish. Hundreds of cantos, you can't even handle 12. Because you see, in the Bhagavatam, there's only 90 chapters in 10th canto of Bhagavatam.
Yes, ma'am.
And there's only a few chapters about demons. There's 20 demons, Krishna's Vrindavan Leela killed 20 demons. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said that this killing demons is Krishna's everyday affair. Every day before lunch prasad, Krishna would knock off at least 2 demons. So that's 2 demons before lunch. And the first demon, how old was he when he killed the first demon?
6 days old.
Putana, the witch, came and he was a baby, 6-day-old baby, and he killed Putana. So if Krishna was killing 2 demons a day and he lived for 10 years, 10 years is 3,650 days.
Okay.
Right? 3,650 and 2 a day.
Hare Krishna.
2, 6 or 12. 7,374. 7,000. So Krishna killed 7,000 demons.
Yes, ma'am. Enjoy.
2 a day before lunch. It sounds like a doctor's prescription. Huh?
Kill 2 and keep the doctor away.
Yeah, if there's 2 pages to describe each demon, then you have a pretty big book. So the idea is that Krishna killed a lot of demons, like it's around 7,000 demons, and only 20 described in the Krishna book. So when you go to the higher planets, you can read about more demons. And read about 3,000 demons.
Like these demigods also go through this.
Yeah, they also have the Bhagavatam, they can read it. But they're just like people down here. Just like people here on the earth. They attend what they call Bhagavat Sapta. Have you ever heard this? Bhagavat Sapta?
Yes, ma'am.
It's called a 7-day recital. They have this bapu, that bapu, this this poopoo, this papu, or poopoo, bapu. All these people, they come, and then they speak the Bhagavatam, and they make a big money. They make big money. And everyone comes and sits there for 7 days, all the Marwaris and all the big people. Oh, very nice. Uh-huh. Oh, nice. And then there's always it's like 5 minutes Bhagavatam, then 15 minutes Sangeet. Oh, wah, 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 wah. Everybody goes, oh, it's nice, you know. Then 5 minutes Bhagavatam, then Sangeet, singing. And they pass, mostly it's entertainment. It's called Bhagavat Entertainment. After 7 days, everybody says, thank you very much. Here's your donation, 5, 10, 20 lakhs to the Purohit. And then they go back and business as usual.
Yes,
go to the club, go to the disco,
yes,
go to Pattaya Beach, go to Las Vegas,
yes,
and all the hot spots that they go to.
Yes,
and the Bhagavatam, there's no vicharana. Touch Trinvan, Supatan Vicharano. Paro Bhakti Mi Muchyan Naraha. They don't do any vichar. They just hear. They hear the Bhagavatam, they get punya. And if they get enough punya, then they take birth in America. When they take birth in America, then they join ISKCON. Then when they join ISKCON, then they really hear the Bhagavatam and surrender their lives to the Bhagavatam. Yeah. Otherwise, they just pass their whole life. Oh, how many Bhagavat Saptas you attend? Oh, every year I go to Hardware. Every year I go to Vrindavan. I hear, you know, Mridul Krishna. I hear this Krishna Chandra Shastri, whatever it is.
Yes.
I've heard 50 pots of his. Oh, yes. And you're still drinking Johnny Walker? Yes, still drinking Johnny Walker. Still smoking cigars? Yes, Havana cigars, 500 rupees, one cigar. And I'm still reading Playboy? Yes, I'm still reading. I have my subscription, life subscription. And you're still going to Blue Movies? Yes. So what is this hearing? There's no vichara. They're hearing but no consideration, no change of consciousness, no change of lifestyle. So on the heavenly planets, people are also hearing the Bhagavatam with 500 cantos. So it's long saptaha.
Yes, huh?
They sit for a month and hear the Bhagavatam, but they have, you know, they live a long time.
Yes, they live a long time. Right?
So hear the Bhagavatam. Oh, and there's really good singing. Imagine the singing up there. Not only sing, they have dancing girls, and you know, there's not so much restrictions up there. Here are some restrictions. Guy just sings. But up there they have, you know, Urvasi comes out or whatever. So people get a really good show. Really good show. So they have the Bhagavatam there, and they're hearing, but there's no change. They're still enjoying their senses like anything. People here on this planet, they hear the Bhagavatam, keep enjoying their senses. They don't become Bhagavat
devotees. They don't become Bhagavatas. There's the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. So you hear the book Bhagavatam, and then you become a Bhagavata. You become a follower. Mahabhagavat. Mahabhagavat means a Mahatma. A Mahatma who follows the teachings of the Bhagavatam and realizes the teachings and lives the teachings is called a Mahabhagavat. Maha means Mahatma. A great soul. An intelligent person. Broad-minded, intelligent person. He hears the Bhagavatam. Oh, this is very special. This is important. He hears it. He keeps it. He keeps it near and dear, and surrenders his life, and he gets free from all fear. So this is hearing the Bhagavatam, then he becomes a Mahabhagavat.
Maharaj, something connected with yesterday night, Maharaj. Maharaj, you're explaining us on the beach, Maharaj, that when a person dies, the body, super soul also leaves the body, Maharaj. But Maharaj, I mean, is there anything like he leaves it before, or they both leave together, Maharaj?
No, the super soul accompanies the soul, like his friend, like two birds on a tree. One's the eating bird, one's the observing bird.
Okay, Maharaj.
Super soul is like the motherboard.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, yes, yes. Motherboard.
Carries the program. Because we forget, but the super soul doesn't. So it's all Oh, you forgot that you hit this guy in the head last life? I remember. So now this guy's going to come back and hit you on the head. Hey, here he is. Hit him on the head. Donk. Hey, what did you do that for? Because the super soul reminds you and arranges all your whole karmic program.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj, you mentioned in the beginning, Vedanta Sutras are like flowers and
Bhagavatam. Yeah, Nigama, like Kapha Jura. Yes.
So, I've heard that even Bhagavatam is like a Vedanta Sutra.
Well, the Bhagavatam is the commentary in Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra, there's a separate, Vyasadeva wrote he wrote all the Vedas, then the last thing he wrote was Vedanta Sutra.
Which is a summary.
Sutra means condensed knowledge. Like, you know, you have this thing in computers, everyone's in their computers, called zip file. You know what a zip file is? Vedanta Sutra, he took the Vedas and he zipped it. He took the entire Vedic literature and there's thousands, Mahabharata is one Veda, one book. How many verses? 100,000 verses in the Mahabharata. You don't know. Everyone knows that. Mahabharata is 100,000 verses. Inside the Mahabharata is a Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is how many verses? 700. So there's 100,000, one lakh of verses in one book. How many verses in Ramayana? Ramayana is like, 10,000 or something like that. How many verses in Skanda Puran? 90,000 shlokas. How many verses in Padma Puran? 70,000 shlokas. Bhagavad Purana is small, only 18,000. So there's, if you put all the Vedas together, it's like, millions of shlokas. So he took all those Vedas and he zipped it. It's called a zip file. Big, big file. Huge thousand, lakhs and lakhs of verses, millions of verses in all the Vedas. And he zipped it. He condensed it into Vedanta Sutra. Sutra means condensed knowledge. Codified, condensed knowledge. Sutra. Janmad yasya yata. We have to have so many Puranas to explain that. The whole 18,000 shlokas of the Bhagavad Puran are explaining this one sutra. It starts off, Janmadhyaya, that's one sutra from the Srimad Bhagavatam. One sutra from Vedanta Sutra. So that sutra, that shloka is explained, and there's 18,000 verses commenting on this. And in that shloka is everything. There's Janmadhyaya Yataha, that Janma, that source of everything. The word, the phrase, the sutra, Janmadhyaya Yataha, means that which is the source of everything. The source of everything is God. And the supreme understanding of God, Vedanti Tattavidas Yatach Ganamadvayam, Brahmati Paramatmati, Bhagavan Vishavyati. God can be understood as Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. So the Bhagavatam explains that. Bhagavan conception, which is the highest conception. The Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is called the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra by the author of Vedanta Sutra. Vyasadeva wrote the Vedanta Sutra, then he commented on Vedanta Sutra by explaining Vedanta Sutra in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, we instruct our students to get the full benefit of Bhagavad Gita to read 11th canto alongside the Bhagavad Gita. And she has a sheet which I gave, shows the corresponding chapters of Gita and 11th canto. They're complementary. So they read this chapter of Gita, then this chapter of Bhagavatam, and they complement and enhance each other. So you deepen your understanding, specifically Gita. And then you're also reading Bhagavatam. Then when you finish that study, then you go to the first canto. Read one verse a day. Prabhupada set up ISKCON based on that, one verse a day. Once Prabhupada was in LA, he was giving class, and he said, So we're having our standard in ISKCON. We're having one class, one verse every day.
Yes, ma'am.
So at this rate, how many days will it take us to finish the Srimad Bhagavatam? Somebody said, we'll be done in 50 years. So Prabhupada said, so we have lots to read. We have enough reading material for the next 50 years. Everybody said, Jai Prabhupada. Yeah. It means a whole life, because we're all 25 or 30. He lived to be 75 or 80. So a whole life, one verse a day, takes 50 years, 18,000 verses. Yeah. Right? So how old are you? How old are you? 28. So 50, 78. So you read one verse a day, by the time you die, you finish the Bhagavatam. Adivo. Yeah, of course. Yeah, through different stories, like a Jamil, etc. There's so many stories of those that get influenced by the material energy. In other words, Bhagavatam is explaining the Bhagavat consciousness. But it's also giving examples of those who give up Bhagavat consciousness. And why they give up Bhagavat consciousness. And why they don't attain Bhagavat consciousness. Or at least temporarily don't attain it. So then you can understand what is the... There's a thesis and the antithesis. So the thesis is Bhagavat consciousness, Krishna consciousness. But there's so many stories and examples of those that give up Krishna consciousness. Or not Krishna conscious. There's so many examples and stories showing what is not Krishna consciousness, so we can look for that within ourselves. That's the whole idea of the 10th canto is so powerful. Because there's 20 demons in the 10th canto. And Chaitanya Shikshamrita Bhaktivinoda Thakur says these 20 demons represent 20 anarthas, which are not Krishna conscious. The absence of Krishna consciousness. He said these anarthas are obstacles to Braja Bhakti. These are obstacles to Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. These demons try to come and interfere and impede and obstruct Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. So Krishna had to kill them so he could have his Leela. He called the gopis to have Ras Leela at the place near Radhakund at Govardhan. After Maharas, Radharani wasn't very happy, so he called a private Rasa dance. So he said, please come over here by Govardhan. We'll have a private Rasa dance with you and a few of your friends. Invitation only. RSVP. There's no sadhana siddha gopis there, no munichari gopis, no rishicharis, no one there, no shruticharis. Only Radharani and their parishads, Krishna's nitya parishads. So they gathered over there, and the BBT Bhagavatam explains in the Tika of the disciples, the translation. They cite a verse from Vishnu Puran. They said, Arda Pradosh, during Arda Pradosh, Krishna killed Aristasura. Pradosh means 8:30 p.m. until 10:48 at night. It's called Pradosh Kal. Pradosh. So Arda Pradosh means halfway through this time. So about 9:45 at night, Krishna killed Arishtasura. Although you'll see Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, sometimes you see a painting in different editions. It shows the gopis holding on to tamal trees. The gopis are embracing tamal trees. Ah, and there's this big black bull. Ah! And it's daytime. It's a daytime painting. Anyone knows art or painting, you see it's all light, the sun is there. And the gopis, it's a very bright painting. The gopis are embracing the tree, tamal tree, out of fear. And this big bull is snorting and pawing the ground. Aristasura is coming. And so apparently that painting is giving the idea that in some kalpa, or some day of Brahma, this pastime happens in the daytime. At least in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the BBT Bhagavatam is explaining that Krishna killed Aristasura in the middle of the night, 10 o'clock at night. Then there was a conversation back and forth between Radharani and the gopis, and that went on until about midnight. Then at midnight, Shamakund broke through the wall of the waters of Shamakund filled up Radhakund. That became the formation of Radhakund on Baholastami. The whole purpose of that being there was to have a Rasleela. And after he killed Aristasura and made Shamakund and Radharani made Radhakund, and they bathed there, then they engaged in Rasleela on the banks of Radhakund. So these demons have to be eliminated before Krishna can enjoy his leela, or pastimes. So these demons that are within us, which is un-Krishna consciousness, these anarthas, these demoniac qualities, bad qualities, they have to be destroyed before we can take part in serving Krishna's Vrindavan leela. These are enemies to Braja Bhajan. So Bhagavatam very much describes everything which is not Krishna conscious. It's a very good point you're making, that we have to know, in order to cultivate the proper
it's like neti neti. Okay, we say not this, not this. You know, God is not this, God is not that. Like some gyanis or philosophers, neti neti. God is not this, God is not that. Well, what is God? Well, that we don't know, but he's not this. So there to have acceptance, we have to actually accept something new. We have to understand what we're eliminating. What is wrong within us that has to be eliminated? We understand what is the right thing and what we have to accept. But side by side with that, we have to understand the wrong thing, what we have to eliminate and give up. So this is actually part of self-development or spiritual upliftment, is to first we have to diagnose what is the disease within us. And then we have to treat the disease to come to the normal state of health. So we have to be shown through Bhagavad Gita and through Bhagavatam what is disease consciousness, what is the wrong thing, and then think, oh, wait a minute, that's me. I'm like this. Oh, I thought this was quite good. I thought it was all right. But I find out this book is telling me that I have a lot of problems. And I have to eliminate these things, and I have to embrace and accept these higher concepts, higher thoughts and higher ways of living, higher behavior. And then they're promising me that if I do this, if I accept this Krishna consciousness, that it will be good for me. It will be beneficial and helpful, and it will promote my cause and give me everything I'm really looking for. What is anyone looking for anyway? People are actually looking for peace. People want to be peaceful. They want to be happy, and they want to experience beauty, sweetness, charm. Beauty, sweetness, and charm. Everyone's looking, they want to experience beautiful things and sweet things and charming things and fulfillment. So this is Krishna. Krishna is the personification of beauty, the personification of charm, personification of sweetness, and the personification of fullness. Om Purna Purnamidam Purnamidashate. So when we come in connection with Krishna, then we become charming. We become peaceful. We become sweet. And we become fulfilled. Hare Krishna.